In chapter 3 of Matthew, we'll begin reading in verse 1. We'll read just a couple of verses, or three verses, and try to pick up where we left off this morning. Now, the Bible says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight." Let's bow for just a moment of prayer, and certainly we need God's help tonight. Father, once again, we come in your presence because of the blood of Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you said we have access unto the Father by one Spirit. And I'm glad of that. I'm glad we have throne rights, we that are saved. We can come into your presence and petition the throne and lay our burdens before you and our request. And Lord, we need you tonight. Preaching is... Lord, we know tonight, and we've been on both sides. We've preached in the flesh, and then there's times, God, we've preached in the Spirit, and Lord, there's no comparison. Lord, to preach in the Spirit is really the only way for preaching to be effective. And Lord, I pray that the preaching of the Word of God tonight will lay a challenge at our heart's door. Lord, I pray you'll help us to purpose to move up and get close. Lord, we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves. We're not to compare ourselves with other churches. Dear Lord, they're not our standard. They're not our judges. Lord, we are going one day stand before you. And I pray this evening, God, that you will help me and help the church now as they listen to the Word of God. I pray that you'll make it clear to all of us what you are trying to say to us. Lord, I pray you'll deliver us tonight and keep back every hindrance and every distraction. Lord, I pray that people will be attentive tonight to what is being preached, because it may be the very thing that will help them over the next hump. God, I pray now your will to be done, save sinners. There's no doubt in my mind, Lord, there's lost people in the service tonight. Some, by their own profession, is lost. They're unbelievers. They're not saved. And I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you will show them their need of Jesus and work in them both to will and to do of your own good pleasure. And Lord, what you do, we'll be careful, Lord, to give you the praise. Lord, if we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. As most of you were here this morning, we looked in these verses. Verse number 2, there is the statement made, repent ye. And then in verse number 3, about three quarters of the way down through the verse, it says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. So we've been looking at those two statements, repent ye and prepare ye. And we mentioned this morning, repent ye deals with getting right. Getting right. Just simply, getting right with God. That's all that's standing between us and the blessings of God. That's all that's standing between us and the outpouring of the power of God like we've never seen. I mean, tomorrow is the 8th day of February. I will have preached my first message 29 years ago tomorrow. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But we could see the power of God like we've never seen it. If folks would just get right with God. I mean, that's it. Just get right with God. I'm talking about, we've seen it get high here. We've seen God move here, and to God be the glory. But we've never saw, we've never saw the potential. We've never saw what's really available for us. I mean, you think about some of the services we've had and God has graced us with to see and experience and how wonderful they were. What if everybody in that service had been right with God? I'd like to get in a service sometime where everybody in it was trying their very best to be right with God, walk with God, and please God. I believe it would blow the top of the roof off. I believe it. Amen. I believe it'd be so powerful that sinners couldn't stand it. If there was anybody lost in the service, Brother Clifford, the Bible said that sinners cannot stand it in the congregation of the righteous. If they were to come in here and them be in darkness and you know, enemies of God, and they were to come in here and get exposed to the power of God, amen, I don't believe they could stand it. They'd have to either get in, they'd have to get in or get out, wouldn't they? Amen. And that's the purpose of it. Amen. But anyway, I'm preaching on getting right and getting ready. Getting right and getting ready. Prepare ye has to do with getting ready. And we'll look at that definition here in just a few minutes. And we talked about that this morning, how important it is for us to get right. If I preached 100 messages on getting right, I still couldn't emphasize it enough. I couldn't stress how important it is to get right. And here's the thing. You're not wrong with God in ignorance. Everybody in here, including myself, when I'm not right with the Lord, and I'm trying to be right with the Lord, but when I am not right with the Lord, guess what? I know it. I don't only know that I'm not right, Brother Mark, but I know why. I know what's in the way. I know what the sin is. I know what the flesh is feeding on. So there's no ignorance there. You don't have to come to the altar and say, Lord, something's bad wrong in my life, but I don't have a clue. No. There's none of that. Amen. Lord, I'm in awful shape, Lord. I'm just in terrible shape, and I don't know what it is. No. That's not conviction. When the Spirit of God deals with you, He knows what's going on in your life. Amen. But there's the crucial importance of getting right. But I want to pick up and deal with the second part of the message, and that is getting ready. Getting right really is getting ready. You can't get ready till you get right. Amen? You're not ready for a lot of things if you're not right. You're not ready for worship if you're not right. Because you can't worship God if you're not right. So you got to be right in order to be able to be ready to worship. You know, Nehemiah preached about that, or Ezra did, about being ready for worship, being prepared to worship God. Amen. It takes some effort to come to church and be ready to be right and be ready to worship. And so there's a lot of things we need to be ready for. And Jesus is looking for us getting right. But He's also looking for us to get ready. I want you to listen to what the Bible says here. You don't have to turn there. Flip over here. And I want you to listen to this in Luke 10, in verse number 1. Showing the emphasis of how important being ready is. Jesus responds to readiness. Get ready. You better watch out. Jesus is going to do something. Listen to this verse. And these things the Lord appointed, and after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place, watch this, whether He would come. Jesus sent these out to go before Him to prepare and get everything ready. And then the Bible says He would come. John the Baptist was told to go and prepare the way of the Lord as a forerunner. Meaning that Jesus is going to come following that readiness. If we'll get right and get ready, Jesus is going to show up. Amen. Amen. Jesus is going to show up. And have you ever been in church when Jesus showed up through the Holy Spirit? Oh, yes. Have you been in services when He didn't? Is there a difference? Which would you prefer? Amen. Nothing like it. Amen. Jesus is the greatest. But let's deal with that just for a few minutes, as the Lord will help us to do it. The word prepare means to make ready. To put things in suitable order. So that tells me right there that Jesus is looking for us to put things in order in our life. When we're not right with God, it's usually because things are out of order. Or to not be right with God produces things out of order. What should be first in your list of priorities may be way down on the list when things are out of order. So we need to put things in suitable order. Good way to do that is line them up with the Scripture. Not only line them up with the Scripture, put first things first, amen, but also to just put them in the priority, prioritize the list, if I could use that word. So it means to put things in suitable order or to make ready. Make ready for what? It's not make ready for what, it's make ready for who. See, we're not to make ready and we're not to get right so that a what can happen. We need to get things right and get ready so that the who can show up. And His name is Jesus. There's not a problem that you and I have that could not be addressed and conquered if Jesus show up. Not one time did Jesus in His earthly ministry confront an issue, confront a problem, that He had to shake His head and walk away. Said, it's too big. Too great. I can't handle that. It didn't matter if it was leprosy, blindness, lameness, dumbness, deafness, or even deadness. He could conquer it all. He's greater. So what we need here is for the Lord of glory to walk among us in our services and in our practical everyday life. But let me deal with this word ready for just a few minutes tonight. If the Lord will help me. And don't get done before I do, please. All right? I want to look at three areas about this word ready. I want to first of all look at this word ready as the illustration of this word ready. The illustration. Secondly, I want to look at the word inspiration of this word ready. And then I want to look at the expectation behind this word ready. Are y'all ready? Amen. So first of all, the illustration. When Matthew and also Luke, when they use this word to make ready or to prepare the way of the Lord, they had a metaphor in mind. That word ready or that word prepared had a metaphor or a word picture. It meant something to them when they said to make ready or to prepare a way for the Lord. Actually, the meaning or the illustration or the metaphor behind the word prepare, it is a word drawn from the Oriental custom that was used to describe an ambassage that was sent before a king who was going to make a journey to make sure that everything in the path of that king is taken care of. Are you listening? In other words, the king wouldn't show up, the king wouldn't come, the king wouldn't make his journey until the path was made straight. Until the path had been thoroughly checked out, cleared out, fixed up, and made ready for the king. Hallelujah. I hope you see that. And let me give you this right here. Turn to Luke chapter 3 and verse 5. It's the same identical passage as Matthew 3. Luke's account of it. Chapter number 3 and verse number 3. Are you there? Say amen. All right, look at verse 3. And he came into all the country of Jordan, all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Now watch this. Remember the metaphor. Remember that word picture, the illustration behind the word prepare. That ambassage, that those pioneers that was sent out before the king, before he would make the trip, before he would make the journey, they were sent out to make ready for that king. Look at verse number 5. Let's read the last part of verse 4 again. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. And look at verse 5. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough ways shall be made smooth. I think that verse explains the illustration or the metaphor behind the word prepare ye the way of the Lord. He's telling, and one thing I like about that study and about that illustration, when those pioneers or that ambassador was sent out, they weren't sent out to just pick any old route. They were given a blueprint. They were given a blueprint, and they knew by the king's blueprint the path that the king was going to take. And it was not up for discussion for them to change it. They knew before they ever left that they was going to have to deal with some hills and mountains. They knew before they ever left they was going to have to deal with some valleys. They knew before they ever left they were going to have to deal with some crooked places and some rough places. Oh, I'm talking about getting right and getting ready. If we're going to get ready, according to what that word means to prepare, that means we're going to have to be willing to deal with some things in the way. Now I want you to notice something. The king is not going to be the one that does the clearing and the cleaning and the straightening and the filling and the smoothing. That's all to be done by the ones being commissioned. We're to prepare him a way. He will not respond until there is a preparedness, till there's a readiness, till we are right. And I want you to see this. Look it back in verse 5 again. Every valley. Now I want you to notice this. I didn't notice this. And I've read that verse, I don't know what the times. But I've never noticed, it never stuck out to me, the emphasis of the word every. Look at it in verse 5. Every valley. Not, well, I'll deal with this one, but I won't deal with that one. You know, this valley's a little more difficult than that one. And I'll just, no, every valley. If it's in the way of the king, it's got to be dealt with. Not only every valley, but then it says every mountain and hill. You see that? Every mountain and hill. You can't pick and choose. You can't say A, B, or C. If it's in the way of the king's blueprinted path, then deal with it. That's the illustration behind that word prepare. Notice this right here. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. I looked up that word today. A lot of people might not want to deal with the mountain because it's so big. But they'd be willing to deal with a hill. That word healed just simply means a mound. Not a mountain, but just a mound. How many people's not willing to deal with a mountain in their life, something that's really a big obstruction, something that's really going to be a big hindrance to the king, but that we're willing to deal with a mound? Got three levels here. Lord just showed me that. Let me mention them before I forget it. Lord just showed me that. You got mountains, and then you got hills, and then you come all the way down to where you just got the little rough places. God wants them all dealt with. God wants the mountains, God wants the hills, and then God wants the little humps, amen, if I could put it that way, dealt with in our lives. But one thing hindering Jesus from showing up in mighty power at our church, you know what it is? People not willing to deal with things in their life. People that knows that the blueprinted path of God's Word, my friend, has pointed out things in your life that you know needs to be dug up. That you know needs to be brought down. A valley that needs to be filled. A crooked place needs to be straightened out. Or a rough place needs to be made smooth. And you won't do it. When's the last time you heard a child of God give up something? Are you listening? I used to hear of it all the time. When I got saved, and all those meetings years ago, it was a common report. Somebody, you know, would stand up or whatever. God's dealt with me about this. God spoke to me about this. And God worked in my heart about this. And I'm giving it up. Praise God for Jesus. Very seldom ever hear that. Why have we arrived? Have we been brought, in, like Ephesians said, into the full measure of Christ? Are we Christ-like completely? Oh, I want to say, dear friend, that we need to be willing to deal with mountains and hills. And the Bible said and the crooked shall be made straight. You know what the word crooked means? Curved. In other words, the road goes like this or whatever. But the king's not interested in curves. The king won't travel on curves. Because usually, I mean, we here in the mountains can testify about a curve. Usually when you find a curve, it's usually going around something. Amen. He said when you find those places that would be tempting to put a curve, to bypass something, instead of just deal with it and confront it, he said you're tempted to just kindly bend it a little bit. Boy, how many tries to bend the blueprinted path? They try to bend it and say, well, you know, I don't know if that verse means all of that. Yeah. But Jesus, the King, Brother Jeremy, according to this passage and what also said in Matthew, make his paths straight. He will not agree with the curvy life that you give him. How many people's willing to give him curves? Oh, Jesus, we want you to come. Come on, Jesus. We want you at our house, and we want you in our life, and we want you at RBT, and we want you to move in revival. Come on, Lord. Oh, we've got sinners that need to be saved, and we've got young people that need to be on fire for God. Come on, Lord. Oh, come on, Lord. But you're going to have to walk on some curves. Jesus is not going to do that. He said, make his paths straight. Those every valley, that those ravines and gaps, that's what the word means, are to be filled. And then he said, every mountain and every hill shall be brought low. It's going to take time to get where we can have revival. It may take some time and some effort, my friend, to be putting in to getting right with God and getting ready. It takes a while to lower a mountain. Or does it? I just thought about that. Jesus said, about faith, you could say unto the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. So maybe he's talking about us just getting in the place where we're walking by faith. And amen, we know that the Bible lays out a path of righteousness for us to walk in, a straight path. Amen. And guess what? A mountain gets in our way. We don't go around it. We don't try to excuse it. We don't try to explain it away. We don't try to blame it on somebody else or put a curve around it. Faith just deals with it. Faith just deals with it. What's in your life that might be a mountain? Something big. Amen? Might be something really big in your life that you might even have an attitude that says, God, I'm not dealing with that. God, I'm not quitting that. God, I'm not going to deal with that. That's too big. That's too high. You're asking too much. Let me ask you something. How could Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, ask too much? It's impossible for Jesus to ask too much. He won't ask you to go too far. He won't ask you to give up too much. Amen. No. Oh, yeah. He said, the crooked places, or the crooked, in verse 5, the crooked shall be made straight. All those things that you're tempted to go around. You know, like these mountain roads. Huh? All those areas that you're tempted to just say, Lord, you know what? I'll make you a road. I'll make you a road, but I'm going to make it around this. But that's not going to get it. The idea behind that word, prepare, is to, and it even states it in Matthew, make his path straight. Watch this right here. Not only the crooked, but also, then he said, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. The rough, the rocky, the uneven is what the word means. He don't even want a bump in the road. Amen. He don't want a mountain in the way. He doesn't want, my friend, a hill in the way. He don't even want a hump in the way. Anything rough, just something uneven. How many of you have been going down the road and there's a sign that says uneven pavement or something? You know what automatically comes in your mind? There's a hump. I feel a bump. Ka-punk, ka-punk. Jesus don't even want to feel no ka-punk, ka-punk in your life. Amen? He don't even want to deal with a hump. You say, oh, preacher, it's small. It's insignificant. It's a nothing. I want to tell you, it must be something. Jesus said to deal with it. Amen. Even the uneven places. Amen. The valley is a big deal. See, it goes from big to little. He goes from the mountains to the hills, which is just a little rise. Well, what did I tell you the definition was? A mound. So we go from a mountain to a mound, and then just to an uneven. Something uneven, just a little bump. Deal with it. But then on the other hand, with that other in that there, goes from the biggest to the littlest. He goes from a valley that needs to be filled. He goes from a valley that needs to be filled. And where am I going with that? My mind went blank. The word valley means a gap or a ravine. Well, I thought I was going somewhere with that. Evidently, I got crossed up there somehow. But the rough places, those uneven places, it's not a valley that's got to be filled. It's just a little uneven area that's got to be filled. But you know what I found out? Some are willing to deal with the big things, but not the little things. Well, preacher, I've dealt with this, preacher. I don't have no problem with that. I've done quit drinking, and I'm not on dope no more. Amen. But you allow these little things in your life. And here's the thing laid out in this illustration of behind this word prepare. The big things and the little things both hinders the king coming. And they knew that. Before they ever left, they knew that. Oh, watch this. Listen to this. That pioneer group, that ambassador sent before the king to make that path straight. Listen, they already knew which direction the king was going. And you know what they knew? They knew that when they got done with fixing and preparing and getting ready for the king, Brother Rob, they knew that the landscape and the geography would be rearranged. I see it, don't you? Maybe some of us can look at each other and say, you know what, Brother Bright? They maybe used to be a mountain in your life. Amen. Brother Clipper, there may be a valley in your life at one time. Amen. Oh, I hope you're listening. I hope we're getting this. Amen. And we just deal with it. And all they, someone said, I thought there used to be a mountain right there. Yeah, there used to be a mountain right there, but you see it got in the way of the king coming. Hallelujah. Amen. And there were some people that loved the king enough that they're willing to get shovels and whatever else they needed to deal with it. Some people have been maybe raised in that part of the country, go through there, and they say, well, you know what? Best I can remember, there used to be a big old ravine right there. Yeah, there used to be, but it got in the way of the king. And there's some people loved the king enough that they was willing to fill it up. Maybe two of those walking down the road and somebody said, you know what? I thought there used to be a curve right here. They say, yeah, it used to be a curve in the road right here. There used to be a curve here, but you know what? There's not a curve now because it got in the way of the king. The king don't go on curves, amen? The king's not going to go around things and over things and under things, amen? He's going to wait till you make it right and make it ready, and then thank God he's going to show up, amen? That's good. I like it myself. You say, preacher, where in the world are you going to get all that dirt to fill up that valley? Hey man, it's not all that difficult. He's not asking a big thing here. That if we'll deal with the high things in our life, those prideful areas that stands tall in our life, there'll be enough there, my friend, if we'll pull it down to fill up the low place and valley. Yeah, one cancels out the other. Thank God. Hallelujah. If you'll deal with one area in your life, it'll help you in another. Oh, that's good. Amen. If you'll deal with one area in your life, though it might be hard and difficult and you may not want to do it, but it'll help you in another, amen. Oh, that's God right there, amen. Some other time we listen to the devil and we think, well, if I deal with that, you know what? I'm going to really be missing out. No, if you deal with one thing that needs to be brought low, it'll just help you fill up that which is low, that valley in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. A lot of people don't want to make ready for the Lord because it's going to change the landscape of your life. There's going to be some mountains moved and some hills, humps moved and mounds moved and some rough uneven places moved and some valleys filled up. Amen. Why? Because the king is coming. Illustration. I think you got it. Number two. Let's move on to number two. And boy, there's a lot more we could say about that thing. We could say a lot more about that, but we're going to move on. Not only do we see the illustration of what it means to get ready, but, amen, I'm still seeing stuff about that. It's full. Amen. It's there. Oh, it's a matter really. I'll tell you what it's a matter. It's a matter of just really how much you want the King to show up in your life. Amen. Now, if you're not interested in the King showing up, amen, then give Him some curves and leave a few mountains and humps in your life. And then all you'll do is just go to church and pop down on a pew, and occasionally you might get blessed. But oh, if we want the, you young people, listen to me. If you want the King to show up in your life and be real in your life, my friend, give Him a straight, smooth, level path to travel. And I preach like this, and like I normally preach, try to help young people and everything, and some of them don't listen. They won't listen if it's Jesus in here preaching. Are you listening? And then when they get 25 and 30 and their life's a wreck, they say, "Boy, you know what? I wish I'd listened to that preaching. Preacher pointed out some of those mountains in my life. And preacher pointed out some of them mounds in my life. Preacher pointed out some of them uneven humps in my life. Preacher pointed out some of them rough places and them curves in my life. And I didn't pay no attention to it because I didn't think it was important. I didn't think it was important to deal with those things. All I thought, well, doing the kid thing is the important thing." Amen. I mean, I've been preaching, I don't know how long I've been preaching tonight, but we've got some young people in here that's not paid one lick of attention, and I'm on the verge of calling you down. Amen. I got woke up at 5 o'clock this morning with a message from God, and I'd be dog if I'm going to let you sit back there and make fun and laugh and giggle and go on. I promise you, and I'm not the best preacher in the world, but I promise you, you don't have nothing to talk about that's more important than what I'm talking about. If you do, we'll let you have the floor. Now, I hate to have to do that. That's disrespectful to the preacher. Amen. My mama taught me from, I wasn't big enough to waddle. Amen. You don't talk when somebody else is talking. That is rude. Say amen right there. It don't matter if you like it or not. Amen. I'll let you preach a while to somebody that won't listen. Amen. See how you like it. That's right. Well, amen. So there's the illustration, but really it's important. It's just really how much you want the King in your life. If you don't want the King in your life, just go along like everybody else and give Him some curves and mountains and leave some of this in your life. And guess what? He won't show up. Jesus, listen, come on now. Jesus is not going to compromise what He says to cater to you. When He says, "Prepare me a way and make it straight and pull down the high places and fill up the low places and make those crooked places straight and the rough places smooth," when He said to do that, He meant what He said. He will not make His venture. He will not make His journey until it's taken care of. And there's not much activity of God in our churches, and I'm just telling you, know it's right. There's not much going on in our churches from the hand of God. And I tell you why. We're wanting Jesus to ignore our curves. We're wanting Him to ignore the mountains in our lives. We're wanting Him to ignore the humps in our lives. Things that we're not willing to deal with. We're wanting, come on now, we're wanting Him to bless in spite of it. Amen. I'm trying to get us going in a direction for revival. Amen. He said, "Preacher, you've been plowing a little bit today." Well, it's about time. Long overdue. Let me hurry on. Number one, the illustration of getting ready. Number two, there is the inspiration of getting ready. What is it in Matthew chapter 3 and Luke chapter 3, my friend, that is the inspiration behind the word ready, make ready? It is found in the fact that the Bible said that John the Baptist, my friend, came preaching. You know what's the inspiration and the motivation behind making his path straight and getting ready for the King to come? That is to get under old-fashioned preaching, my friend, that will challenge your heart. Yeah. I still remember what Miss Diane Gaddy said when she was talking about, said when she come here, she realized right quick that she was going to have to stretch to be a member of this church. Amen? That's good. I don't like it and you don't like it, but that's the way it is. We should be wanting a church, amen, not just the preaching, but the teaching and testimonials and the way people live. My friend, that should challenge people, my friend, to step up and go to another level. Amen. We're not just interested in a number. On the board, we're interested in quality. We're interested in young people really loving Jesus. Amen. I know how it is. But I'm going to preach it anyhow. Amen. Inspiration. Motivation. Behind that making ready. There's going to have to be a John the Baptist in your life if you're going to make things ready for the Lord. There's going to have to be a John the Baptist in your life preaching to you and challenging you. I need it. I've got to have it. Amen. But most people, most people, when they're looking for a church, they're not looking for a preaching church. They're not looking for a church that will challenge them in how they live. They're not. And you know that's right. We've got people like that. We've had people like that. They're not interested. They love the choir. I remember Brother Ronnie Simpson said, he told me one time, he said, we have, I forgot how many visitors, because they're a city, they're in the city at Concord, and they have so many visitors in a year's time. I mean, just, I was trying to think of one of them West Virginian words, bagoodles, ever how many that is, amen? Just tons of visitors. And he said, preacher, you know what? He said, they love the singing. He said, they just eat up our choir. But he said, when I'm out the pulpit to preach, he said, that's the end of it. They feel liberty to visit elsewhere. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you what, if you don't have a church, if there's not a lick of singing talent, and we're not like that, praise God for how the Lord has blessed us. Thank God for that. But I want to tell you, if we didn't have anybody that could carry a tune in a bucket, I'll tell you what we've got to have is somebody that'll preach the Word of God without fear and without favor. And to me, that is a sign of a preacher that loves you. If he'll tell you the truth. If he'll tell you the truth. I'm not talking about being a smart aleck. And I don't believe I've been in a smart aleck nary time today. Been stern a time or two, deal with things time or two, but I ain't been in the flesh a lick today preaching. Amen. I've tried to stay in the right spirit. There ain't nothing spiritual about a smart aleck. Amen. But I want to preach, not that you will be my buddy. I want to preach in such a way that'll challenge you to love Jesus enough to deal with hills and mountains and curves and rough places in your life so that He can show up. And so the inspiration behind the word ready is really found in preaching. And then, last of all, the word expectation. There's an expectation behind this word prepare. Think about it. John the Baptist was sent as a forerunner. A forerunner. Before Jesus. In front of Jesus. John the Baptist knew what a forerunner meant. He knew what the implication there was. That is, as John went through life preaching and minding God, repent ye, get right, prepare ye the way, get ready. He knew there was going to come a point, Brother Silas, hallelujah, that he would look over his shoulder with expectation and there he would be. And it happened that way in John chapter 1. John was out there at the Jordan, Brother Frankie baptizing new converts. And all of a sudden he pointed up on the hillside and said, behold, the Lamb of God. There he is, folks. John, was it worth it? Hey, John, was it worth it, John, preaching against sin, Hey, John, was it worth it going up and preaching against people's mountains and them hills and humps and all that? John, was it worth it? Was it worth all the rejection and the persecution, John? Oh, yeah. Look at him. Boy, just to point him out and say, there he is, boys. That's the one I've been singing about, preaching about, and talking about. That's why I've been preaching about you dealing with your mountains and pull them down. Amen. And them hills and mounds, pull them down and smooth the rough places and make straight the crooked places so he'd show up. Hallelujah. Amen. And brother, I want to tell you, when he showed up, there wasn't nobody saying, you know what? I can't believe I gave up that mountain for him. I gave up that hill for him. I gave up them curves for him. No. When you see him walking in your life in a real and a big way, and you see him walking among our church in a powerful, real way, you won't worry about and you will never stand up and complain about any mountain that you had to deal with, or any hill you had to deal with, or any valley you had to deal with, or any rough place you had to deal with. You'll say, thank God, I'm glad I dealt with those things so he could show up. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory. John knew he was a forerunner, and there's no doubt about it. He's constantly looking over his shoulder. You know why? He knew as he went through preparing that way, dealing with the high and the low and the smooth and the crooked and all of that, he knew as he going through there, it's going to be a matter of time that coming behind him, right where them curves used to be, right where them mountains used to be, right where the mounds used to be, right where the rough places used to be, there he is, folks. Hallelujah. There he is, the Son of the living God. But a lot of people's not willing to deal with nothing. They want revival. They want the emotions of revival. They want the feelings of revival. And would might even like to see some fruit of it, as long as it don't require them to change. Amen. I know I sound like a broke record sometimes, but I can't help it. Preach, you see people get saved, they stand up and give confession, they got saved, but then they just put their spirituality somewhere back in the back closet somewhere. That is not the will of God. If you really got saved, come on, I want to help you with something that you should already know. If you got saved, genuinely, truly, and really saved, you are not your own anymore. You don't have say-so on what music you listen to. You don't have say-so on what kind of clothes you wear. You don't have say-so of none of those things. You belong to a new master. You belong to a new Lord that gave you a new life, that took away your condemnation and saved you by the amazing grace of God. And I want to tell you, you belong to Him. Amen. And if you've got the attitude, we will not have this man to rule, reign over us, then you're probably not saved. Because if all you're wanting is some quote-unquote hell insurance, if all you're interested in, my friend, is getting your guilty conscience, my friend, comforted just a little bit, but you're not interested in a new master and a new life and a new Lord, my friend, then you didn't get it. I don't know about you. Well, I do know, but let me just use myself for an example. When I got saved January 20th, 1981, I want to tell you, friend, I was sick of the master that was in my life. I was sick of the direction I was going in. I'd made my choices, my friend. For 20 years, I'd made my choices, and they were all bad. When I got saved, you think I was going to go up here, say, oh, Lord, save me, amen, and give me a home in heaven, and don't let me go to hell, and then stand up and say, the one that saved me now, You take care of my destiny, but I'm going to live my life. No. No, sir. If you're not willing for Him to be Lord, you're not willing for Him to be Savior. Amen. Now, I know that's not popular in some churches, but I'm not interested in popularity. If you're not willing to deal with sin, you're not interested in getting saved. If all you're under conviction, and conviction's a miserable thing, isn't it? If you've never been under conviction, you're not converted. I promise you, if you don't ever remember being brought under guilt of the holy law of God, that you was a sinner and a transgressor of God's law, my friend, listen, and brother, that's a miserable state. You may not have been under conviction for weeks. It might have been just like I did. I went into service, my friend, that night, didn't go to get saved. And I mean, brother, God put me under conviction that night in the service. But that was more than I could stand. I couldn't wait for the preacher to shut up. As some of y'all are about there tonight, amen. I couldn't wait for him to shut up. I didn't hear hardly anything he said, because that one thing he said, he preached it here about getting off the streets of Egypt, my friend. That thing went like an arrow into my soul. God got my attention, brought me under conviction, showed me that I had religion, but I didn't have a relationship, that I was not saved. I knew about Jesus, but I did not know him. And I want to tell you what's the truth, buddy. As soon as he got through preaching, there was a beeline to the altar. And I didn't go planning to get saved. Are you listening? Hallelujah. And God does such a work in my heart right there, my friend. I wouldn't dare want to leave mountains in my life. And I'm not saying I've arrived. But I'm going to tell you what, if you refuse to deal with anything that He puts His finger on in your life, that will be a mountain, that will be an obstruction, that will be a hindrance, and you will not grow beyond that point till you deal with it.
Amen. You're right,
preacher. Oh, but He's a loving Lord. He don't mind bypassing and going around and over and under. No. He said, make my path straight. Make it smooth. Make it level. I don't even want a hump in the road. And I will show up. And Brother Rob, when He shows up, He will show out. Now I know, I don't have to ask you. Your flesh don't like what I preach today. I can read countenances. My flesh don't like it, Brother Mark. But my flesh needs it. I need to know what is expected of me. You're saved, you're spiritual, God expects some things out of you. Are you listening? I'm still preaching. God expects some things out of you. And you think about the joy you experienced when you got saved, that is only to increase as you yield and obey and go with God. You know why a lot of people, come on now, I'll be through in a minute. You know why a lot of people get saved or claim to get saved? And they're all just ecstatic with joy and excitement right then. And then 3 weeks down the way, or 2 weeks, and sometimes not even 2 days, they're done shut up, quiet, and won't even testify or nothing else. You know what it is? Let me help you with it. They get up out of that altar, they're getting saved, praise God, because you don't have to deal with no mountains, no nothing to get saved. And they turn around and they start this new walk with this new life with Jesus. And then all of a sudden, in your Bible reading, or through preaching, or the Sunday school lesson, all of a sudden, God says, boom, there's a mountain, deal with it. Oh, Lord, but that mountain's been in my life all my life. And then walk, then, you know, you don't deal with that, and then your joy goes. And then you just kind of come in like this to church. And then through preaching and whatever, all of a sudden the Lord says, look over there in that little corner. There's a little mound that you need to deal with. But Lord, I know people in our church that's got the same mounds in their life. Why do I have to deal with it? It's not a matter of who else has got that same mountain and curve and rough place in their life. It's not a matter of that. That is not going to excuse you. That's not going to justify you.
Amen.
Amen. And here's my desire, and here's my purpose. It don't matter if you got those mountains in your life or not. I want them out of mine. Because I don't want to be just another preacher. I'm serious about it. I'm as serious now as I've ever been. I don't want to be just another preacher. I don't want to be just another preacher, another Christian. I want to have the power of God on my life. I want the power of God on my life. I mean that. And listen, what in your life, and I'm about done, what is it in your life that God says that needs to go? Would you say to God, No. Everything but that. Whatever that is that you say, that is the thing that you're going to have to deal with to have God's best in your life. Amen. He's worthy, my friend, of us dealing with anything and everything. We're to have the attitude, Lord, I don't care what it is. You want it, you can have it. If you want me to quit it, it's quit. Consider it done. Amen. Lord, if you want me to start it, whatever that is, I'll start it. No matter, Lord. I'm willing. I want you in my life. You mean something to me. I'm appreciative of you saving me from hell. I appreciate it. And I'm willing to deal with anything in my life that's displeasing to you and is an obstruction to you. I will deal with it. Is that our attitude? If that's our attitude, there's not enough devils in hell to stop us from having revival. It wasn't the devils and it wasn't demons that would stop the king, Brother Gene. It was the curves and the mountains and the mounds and the uneven places. Well, I tell you what, Lord, looks like the devil's really got things messed up at our church. No, it's the mountains. It's the mounds. It's the uneven places. It's the rough places. Yeah. Don't blame it on the devil. Don't blame it on the devil. He didn't do it. But if we'll be responsible to get right and to get ready, He will show up. He could shake Rogersville, Tennessee, in an unbelievable way. If he could just have somebody that'll make him some paths straight and smooth and level for him to travel. Amen. Well, I still see it, but I'm on a hush. Let's all stand to our feet. Pianist is coming. You'll not be disappointed with anything and everything that you have to deal with in your life to have God's best. If you're interested tonight in God's best, and that is Himself, it's not what He can give, it's Himself. Be willing to deal with any mountain. Be willing to deal with any hill in your life. Be willing to deal with it. You know when you can tell when God is starting to work in your life is when you start getting fidgety. When you start feeling that holy finger of God starting to point out some things in your life. I know people, my friend, that's told me out of their own mouth that they did not go to church. They on purpose missed church because they felt like if they went, God was going to deal with them. I want God to deal with me. I want God to deal with me. If there's something in my life that He don't like and it's an obstruction to Him and Him moving, I want Him to deal with me about it. And I believe every saved person should. Your spirituality is your responsibility. Father in heaven, I've tried my best this morning and tonight to preach the Word of God. And I've tried to do it in the right attitude. Right spirit. And I want to thank you, dear God, for helping me. Challenging me afresh and anew about getting right and about getting ready. What I've preached this morning and tonight, Lord, I didn't just start dealing with this morning at 5 o'clock. That's when You gave it to me. That's when You brought it to my heart and attention what I need to preach. But Lord, I've been dealing with it for several weeks, wanting to get right and get ready, because I want your power. I want Your smile on my life. Lord, I'm not interested in the least in worldly popularity. I'm not interested in it. It don't appeal to me at all. I want the touch of God on my life. I want that anointing of the Holy Ghost on my life. Not just as a preacher, but as a Christian. Lord, I pray that You will raise up a youth group here. I pray that You'll raise up young couples here, moms and dads and grandparents right here, Lord, that's got a heart for You, that's willing to deal with mountains in their life. Lord, I've seen people down through my ministry refuse to deal with mountains and different things in their life that they knew need to be dealt with. And I've watched them, and they did not deal with it. And then later on, they regretted it deeply. Why would we want to trade a curve for Christ? Why would we want to keep that in our life and miss out on the great, great opportunity of having Jesus to come walking into our life in power and demonstration? Why, Lord, would we be willing to make a choice of a hill and a mountain at the expense of not having Your manifest presence? I don't know why people does that, but they do it all the time. Lord, I believe that what we do with the message today is going to determine, no doubt, what kind of meeting we have this week. And not just this week, but the effects of it thereafter. Have Your will in Your way, God, and I'll give You the praise for it. And I love You tonight. In Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.